Morning, b'sha'a tovah u'mutzlachat. We are about to start Masechet Eruvin. So just a very short introduction. As I was saying before the shiur started, I was going to give a much longer introduction, but I saw already that Rashi goes into quite a lot of detail at the beginning of the Mishnah, and we'll see about Nisim going on the Daf. So we'll leave those things till we get onto the Daf itself. There's 10 prakim, pretty clear each parak what it deals with. So at the beginning of each parak, we'll give a short introduction to each parak. Instead of spending a long time now discussing it, we'll go through it. But as most of you have got in your Gemaras, you'll see that there are diagrams here of how houses looked in the time of Chazal. Okay, this Mishnah, this Masechet is called Eruvin in the plural, right? It's called Eruvin with a nun at the end. That's like more Aramaic, but it's Eruvin, which means Eruvs, lots of Eruvs. The reason why it's called Eruvin, the main topics of the Masechet are the Eruvim Chatzerot, okay, which enables you to carry from Chatzer to Chatzer. We'll discuss it in a moment. And then the whole idea of the Trub. Okay, so we'll see that we'll discuss it at the end, towards the end of the parak. There's also the whole idea of Trum Shabbat and walking out of the Trum and Eruvay Trumin, etc. So those are the two different types of Eruvim we're going to be speaking about. A couple of points that are just worth mentioning. Right, this is all midrabanan. Okay, Eruv is derabanan. Midoraita, let's start off with the most basic idea. We know from Masechet Shabbos, and this Mishnah, this Masechta carries on from Masechet Shabbos. We're discussing Masechet Shabbos, so everybody here has already learned the whole of Masechet Shabbos. So we've got a pretty good understanding of what we're about to entail. Right, in Masechet Shabbos, we spoke about four different types of Rishuyot. There was Rishta Yachid, it's the private domain, Rishta Rabim, public domain. Then we had a Carmelit, which had a bit of the chumras of both. And then we had a Makom Petor. Now the classic example of Makom Petor was 10 Tvachim above Rishut HaRabim, right, with Makom Petor. It was undefined. The Torah tells us you aren't allowed to carry, learns from Sukkim, we saw in Shabbos. You can't carry, you can't do Hotzah, that was the first mission in Masechet Shabbos, from Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaRabim, and from Rishut HaRabim to Rishut HaYachid. That was the Ani standing at the door with the Balabait. Then we also saw the Isur of Tiltul Dalit Amot in Rishut HaRabim. You can't carry more than Dalit Amot inside Rishut HaRabim. But there was no mention anywhere of not doing Tiltul in Rishut HaYachid. And we all have our own homes and we carry around our gardens, there's no problem. And most of us today are living in areas where we've got an Eruv. Now we'll come to that in a moment, because that what we call an Eruv is actually a misnomer. Right? So now, from one Rishut HaYachid, you've got your neighbor's house and your house. There's no Isur min HaTorah to carry from your house to your neighbor's house. If, like you saw the picture we held up over here at the time of Chazal, right, the streets were built in main roads. Off those main roads were like little alleys. The alley generally was a cul-de-sac, what we'd call today, a cul-de-sac. And off the cul-de-sac were yards. People's houses would all enter into those yards. So the cul-de-sac was a Rishut HaYachid. It had walls on three sides, right? It was a proper Rishut HaYachid as far as the writer was concerned. Chazal were concerned, and this is really the issue. It's funny, we mentioned this morning in the Chumash Shir with the Ramban discussing about the Navi coming and adding and subtracting from the Torah mitzvahs. Right? There's not an addition to the Torah. Right? Even though we saw in Masechet Shabbos, by the way, Rabbi Akiva, if you remember, we saw it more than once. Rabbi Akiva held that Eruvin was the writer. Do you remember that? We had a couple of times we were trying to work out which was the Melocha that you weren't Chayav Achatat for, and Rabbi Akiva would say Eruvin. Remember the whole idea of Tchum Shabbat. Sorry, not Tchum Shabbat. Right, but as a rule, most everybody agrees that within Rishut HaYachid, there's a problem. Chachamim were concerned that if they allow you to carry in that sort of alleyway, that cul-de-sac, or from your house into that cul-de-sac, you would get confused and end up carrying into the street as well. Okay, so that's really the principle of all of this. Is to stop us from coming to be over on a mitzvah in a Torah of Tiltul in Rishut HaRabim, either from Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaRabim or in Rishut HaRabim itself. So now, because the Rabbanan, the whole idea here is to create ideas. We'll see, we're going to get into our Gemara as well via Machloket. When we're looking in the, for example, the Mavoi, we all know now the Mavoi, you can either have a lechi, like a beam standing on the one side, or a korah along the top, a beam along the top of the Mavoi. The Mavoi is this alleyway entering onto the street. Right, is that Mavoi, is that Lechi or Korah, is it in actual fact acting as a wall, or is it only a heker? Just a reminder, we'll get to that. So now, So that's the principle around the idea of Shriyachish Rabim and these Chatzerot. I'm going to jump a little bit now. Right, we've spoken about in Shabbos as well about Eruv Chatzerot and Shituf Mevo'ot. Remember that? We discussed it quite a lot in Shabbos. In fact, remember having a wrong session with Robert, we were talking about Eruv Chatzerot. Eruv Chatzerot is really in order for, they both work very similarly, in order if we've got common yard and our household open onto this common yard which opens onto the Mavoi, or to be carrying it from yard to yard, we do an Eruv Chatzerot with a piece of bread or loaf of matzah. Some of you might have seen in some shuls, they have behind the rabbi on the wall like two boxes of matzahs. I personally saw it the first time in the shul in Memphis, in Baron Hirsch shul in Memphis. That is the Eruv Chatzerot, or Eruv Mavot. It could be different. They work very similarly, but they're slightly different. Which basically, everybody puts in a bit of money and owns a loaf of bread or owns a box of matzahs, and they have common ownership in that courtyard or in that area of courtyard. It either carry one to the other. So that's one type of Eruv. The common one that we know about is the Tzurata Petach. Tzurata Petach basically means like a doorpost. You've got two doorposts on the side and you've got the lintel on the top. Now, what we call an Eruv around our houses or around our towns is a misnomer. It's not an Eruv. Eruv means to collect. We all have an Eruv together. How do you make an Eruv? With a Tzurata Petach. That's Midor Halacha Moshe Mesina. That Tzurata Petach, if I've got a two pole upright and a lintel on the top, that is a fence from a halachic point of view. So if I've got a Tzurata Petach around my area, Tzurata Petach, Tzurot Petach, Tzurot Petach, it's as if I've got walls. And that's what enables us to do, to carry within our Eruv. That's why it's called an Eruv, from that word. We actually make, we meet our Bev, we all become mixed into one through these Tzurot Petach. That's why it's so important in Eruv, and you'll see when you look at an Eruv, when you're walking next, you'll see there's usually a pole with like a pin on the top, and the string has to go from above the pole. You can't take a pole, tie string around it, and tie string around it and make an Eruv. That's not an Eruv. It has to be a Tzurata Petach, the style of a door. So you want to have an upright, and the lintel has to lean on top. So the string is usually tied to a pin in the middle of the amud at the top, so that the string lies across the top of the beam to create the Tzurata Petach. We'll get into that as well. Now, a couple of other ways that Chazal, right, these are all Halachot of Moshe Mesinai, discuss this as well. When we want to form a Tzurata Petach, so there's a question, for example, in the Mavoi, if it's got three sides and only the fourth side is open, or if it's got two sides open, which is called the Mavoi Mefulash or Mavoi Satum, we've spoken about these things as well. There are different ways of all of these details. I'm not going to get all the technicalities now. We'll discuss it when we get into the Masechta. But in order to create these walls, so we've seen concepts which we've come across in previous Masechtas. For example, Lavud. So we know that Lavud means that if something is less than three Tvachim, we ignore the distance. So if you need to create a wall, and your wall is this size, and there's the next pole, right, on a Sukkah, for example, we ignore the three Tvachim, so the wall's the whole wall. Going down as well, from top to down, we say the floor beneath three is less than three Tvachim, it's as if it's on the floor already. We've got a problem, we said Gedi'im Bok'inba, right? If animals can pass under, that might nullify the wall. That's a different discussion. That's why in the water, for example, with fish, we don't worry about fish. If fish can swim through, we ignore that. But if animals can get under, we say that could be a problem. So it's easier to have lavud down to the ground in the water than it is on the ground. We'll get to that as well. Another topic which we have touched on in the past is good asik and good achit. Remember, asik means to go up, right? And achit means to go down. So if we've got a wall that, for example, like a sukkah we've seen with walls, they're starting at the top. We consider that to come all the way down to the ground. We have good achit all the way down. If you've got a barrel at the bottom of under an eruv, for example, you must have to have Tzurata Petach. So now if you've got a string along the top, and on one side, if you put a barrel underneath the string, it could be that we say good asik, and the barrel is if the barrel's going all the way up, and you've got a proper amud to form a Tzurata Petach. We'll get into that as well. Okay, I'm skipping over lots of things that I wanted to write, that I wanted to mention, but like I mentioned, we'll discuss later on. Then one other thing which is important, a petach. Tzurata petach means the form of an opening. It's common that in walls you go tzurata petach. Every house you go through, you've got walls and you've got doors. So if you've got a wall with a door, that door doesn't annul the wall. Okay, provided there's not more than 10, 16, we'll get to in terms of the distances, right? I think that the most that it can be is 16 amas wide. 16 Amos, we'll see also that we saw this as well in Masechet Shabbos with the wagons in the Midbar, remember, that was Rishta Yachid, etc. We'll get into that as well. But now a hole is not acceptable. You got a hole in the fence, it annuls the fence. So there's a difference between a petach and a pirza. Pirza is a hole. If you've got a hole in a fence or a hole in a wall which is more than 10 tvachim, 10 amas wide, that annuls the mechitza. If it's less than 10 amas wide, we'll see it's probably still okay and the mechitza can still be a good mechitza. If there's anything else that I want to mention here, the mavoi we spoke about, the mavoi chatzer, yivu chatzerot, except the lechi and the kura. Again, the lechi is a pole on the side of this mavoi, so at the entrance where the mavoi, this cul-de-sac, enters into the road, if you put a lechi on the side or a kura along the top, we'll see that you might need a lechi and a kura. We'll see, do you need a lechi and a kura, or is a lechi or a kura? Doesn't make a difference if it's mefulash, if it's open through on both sides. You have to have a lechi and a kura, and if it's saktum, closed on three sides, it might be one should be enough or not. Those are all things which you will see in the Masechet. There was one other thing that I wanted to mention that I hadn't made a note about, but I can't remember. Oh, yes. Let's just open up the Masechta now. Before we start, just one thing I want to point out. On the first Amud of Masechet Eruvin, right, we'll see that there's a Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon. Can you all see the Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon on the Amud? Can you all see Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon? It's important. Even those of you who don't normally follow in the Mefarshim, look, please, you can see the Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon. Okay, towards the right. So I said like this, Mavoi Durabanan Ta'ane Takanti. We'll see, we'll get that in the Mishnah in a moment. Let's ignore that. He says, Beperek Osin Pasin Amar Rav Yehuda. We'll see the Daf Kaf Aleph is Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. B'sha'a she'tikain Shlomo Eruvin. We'll see there was Shlomo HaMelech was betakain the concept of Eruvin. So very, very early Takana. He says, B'ta'a she'tikain Eruvin V'yadayim. Also the issue of Netilat Yadayim. We'll see that as well later on. Yatzta'a bat kol. A heavenly voice went out and said, V'amra lo b'ni im chacham libech. And the whole thing, we'll discuss it there in the Masechta, and now the Rabbi Nissim go on sidetracked. But he says, B'ni im chacham libech. And he points our attention to the fact that Shlomo HaMelech was metaka in the Eruvim. And look what he says. Kichol davar she'eno katuv b'kray. Anything that's not written in the Torah. V'afa pishu mitakanat nevi'im. Even though it's from the Takanat Nevi'im, right? Shlomo HaMelech, very, very early times, right? A lot of things which are very important for us today. Nonetheless, the Rabbanan Mitkri, they are still called Halachot Derabbanan. But Nissim God is attracting our attention here to this, saying, don't get confused. This is a Derabbanan, even though it's Shlomo HaMelech, very early, ancient, Nevi'im, it doesn't matter. It is Derabbanan. Ki mipi ashmua shelahen kiblanu. We received it from them, from Rabbanan. Ve'eruvo derabbanan lefi she'enam ktuvim. It's quite unusual. I was quite taken aback when I saw this. It's like a proper warning light. See, if we started the Masechet, he's putting up a big flag and he's saying, just remember, right? Not being mezalzel, not detracting from this, but this is an issue derabbanan. It's a takana of chachamim. All these laws we're going to learn now are midderabanan. I'm going to end up here with the introduction, and we'll start with the Masechta. Ira. Important to point out, an Eruv cannot work in a Rishut Harabim D'Oraita. If we know that we have an area which, according to all opinions, is Rishut Harabim D'Oraita, let's say that it's a place where there's 600,000 people walking every single day, you can't put an Eruv there. An Eruv is a derabanan. And an Eruv can only work in an area of Derabana, where Midoraita it's mutar to carry, and Chachamim said you can't carry. There an Eruv can work and say Chachamim allowed you to carry, provided you have an Eruv. So if we've got an area which is a Karmelit, or a Karpaf, we'll see all these concepts later on which we'll discuss, which Midoraita you're allowed to carry. And like I mentioned at the very beginning, that Chachamim said that you can't carry from Rishta Yachid Shta Rabbi, and you can't carry in Shta Rabbi, but in Rishta Yachid you can carry, and from one Shta Yachid to another you can carry. And this Mavoi, which we're speaking about, which comes off the street, really, for all intents and purposes, is surrounded by walls on three sides, is a Rishta Yachid Midoraita. And Chazal were the ones who said you can't carry from your yard into that Mavoi because we're scared you might go from the Mavoi into the street, which is Shta Rabbi. under those circumstances, if you have a lechi, or you have a korah, or you do an eruv chatzerot, or shituf mevuot, then you are allowed to carry, because what the takana is doing is taking a shtar rabim and saying the shtar rabim, now the isur derabanan is suspended on these conditions. You can never suspend a doraita. Okay, so what we, so just 1 second, Robert. So there's a, for example, one question, there was a big question in Fifth Avenue Eruv. Because there are some people, I don't know what it's like today after the riots and the stuff being brought up. I haven't been there. But I'm saying, but as a rule, it's a very, very, very busy area. And there might be 600,000 people passing through there every single day, which means it's a proper Rishut HaRam and Doraita. Can you build an Eruv then? The answer would be no.
That's why it's so controversial.
Okay, so the answer would be no. So those people who say you could put an Eruv there will tell you that there aren't really 600,000 people passing there every single day. Okay.